The Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer is on. This offer is for 1 week only and ends at midnight on Sunday. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier is the answer. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code Howie. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. The number, if you want to join us, is 844-500-4242. If you are tuning in and you are looking for a little bit of Massachusetts news, we will be talking to Jess Machado in the 2 o'clock hour about the big breaking news out of the race last night, the big election that everyone was following. And that, of course, is that Jim Lyons is done. And Amy Carnevale beat him out in the second round of voting, 37-34. That was the results of the Massachusetts Republican State Committee's election last night. So if you're waiting to hear more about that, we will be talking about it at 2:30. I know a lot of people out there were following this pretty closely. The lines are still open. It's 844-500-4242. We are going to switch gears here a little bit. We talked about Hunter Biden. I'll be real with you guys. So some things, they come across my desk, and I know there's no shot, Jared. I know there is no shot that I'm not going to start with it. And hearing about Hunter telling an assistant that he'll pay her if she'll have FaceTime sex with him, that's one of those stories that it's going to be in the first hour. And again, I go back to, how many underlings does this dude have? You would think he was splitting the atom with the amount of assistants. Most people have to work for like 30 years before they have an assistant. This guy's got an assistant and a secretary. You'd think one would suffice. But it's clear based off the duties that he's giving out to people that he needs multiple employees.
I mean, when you're on how many gas company boards in Ukraine and China is he on? I mean, how do you get by without all those assistants?
You know what, Jared, you're right. You know what it always comes back to? I just don't understand. That is the theme
you're
of the Grace Curley Show.
You're just one of those boothers. You know, you're a booth person.
Sitting in that restaurant booth trying to understand the supply chain crisis. Then they throw inflation at me and I'm like, all these new things. All these new things for me to wrap my arms around. Hey, in other breaking news before we get to the migrants at NYC and this border crisis, because right now the House is having committee hearings. They will be talking to Alejandro Mayorkas. They will be questioning people who are responsible for our border and who are obviously grossly mishandling what is happening there. I mean, it's really a catastrophe of epic proportions, even if Joe Biden and the border czar, Kamala Harris, don't want to talk about it. The border czar, Kamala Harris, she's got other things on her plate, Jared.
Oh, yes. It goes back to space. She's the space czar.
It's always space, isn't it?
She's a school bus czar.
Should we do a little, I wasn't going to, but should we do a little Where in the World is Kamala Harris? She's been in the news a lot lately because there's rumblings after Elizabeth Warren was quoted on WGBH, kind of hinting that maybe there was wiggle room when it comes to the VP. A lot of people are saying that these Democrats, these driven, progressive, best and brightest Harvard men and women are eyeing that job and they're trying to kick Kamala off to the side. Now, there's also been words used to describe some of her speeches as underwhelming. Well, how do you like these apples? Okay, because Kamala Harris was talking about space. And I was overwhelmed, Jared, with awe that this is still what we're doing. Let's play this. This is cut three, please.
Which brings me to May 30th, 2020. Bob and Doug returned to the Kennedy Space Center. They suited up. They waved to their families. And they rode an elevator up nearly 20 stories. They strapped in to their seats and waited as the tanks beneath them filled with tens of thousands of gallons of fuel. And then they launched. Yeah, they did.
Teacher, what do you see?
I see Kamala Harris looking at me. I got to tell you right now, I used to say it was like she was talking to third graders. Then I said it was like she was talking to first graders. It's at this point, forget kindergarten. This is preschool. She's talking to preschoolers. The way she explains things as if we don't have any idea, like we all were just born, not at night, but last night. And she is giving us from top to bottom a lesson that we've never heard before. It's really, she's talking to adults, Jared. I have to assume there are adults there, right?
Yeah, there definitely were adults. Yeah.
It's a little insulting, some people might say.
And who were Bob and Doug? Like Bob and Doug McKenzie? Or
She was talking about astronauts, I think, right?
Yeah, but she did talk about Doug, so.
Doug! Hey! Doug! Oh, Doug! 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 Doug!
Fair is fair. They suited up. They buckled in. And then they took off. You ever, Jared, you ever around people who have little kids, like on an airplane or something? And this is one of my pet peeves. And maybe it'll change when I become a parent. Maybe I'll understand it more. But I'm not crazy about when people talk to little kids in a really, almost for like other people's benefit. Like, say thank you. What do you say? What do you say? And you know it's for everybody else. And it's like, just leave the kid alone. Like, he's fine. Just stop. But they want everybody else to know, like, I'm teaching my kid to say thank you. See? And she's like one of those people. She's talking to all of us like we're kids on a plane. And then we're going to get some apple juice. Yeah. Yeah. Apple juice. That's right. Really, really cringe. But as we're talking about people who are potentially eyeing Joe Biden's position, because that's a given with Kamala Harris, I should also make mention that Nikki Haley is going to announce her 2024 presidential run in February. So you have that to look forward to. It's going to be weird when Trump's on the stage, on the debate stage, with all of these people who used to work in his cabinet. You know what I mean? Because typically, Jared, what happens on these debates is he just goes no holds bar. He gets real vicious real quick.
And going with that, I shouldn't have hired you. You were terrible at your job. That does not do you a service to get reelected. It's kind of like, well, if you hired terrible, we talked about this with, you talked about this with Caroline yesterday or the other day.
Yesterday, yep.
Yeah, where it's like his hires were terrible. And if you keep talking about how terrible your hires are, why would I want you to be able to hire people?
Yes.
Again.
So that's why I wonder, like, is he going to change, but it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. His thing is tearing people down and calling people mean names. And I'm not finger wagging here. I'm not preaching at all. I don't care. It worked for him the first time. But it would just be weird if he's doing it to like Mike Pompeo. You know what I mean? All these people that kind of had his back for a while. 844-500-4242. But Nikki Haley is going to announce. I would file this under like the question I always have, which is, do you think she really thinks she's going to win? Because I'll go back to, say, let's say, Tulsi Gabbard, okay? She was a Democrat. She ran in the Democrat primary. I don't think she thought she was going to win, but she thought it was a good career move, which for a lot of people it is. And now she's like filling in for Tucker Carlson. It was a good move for her. I just can't imagine that Nikki Haley is actually thinking, oh, yeah. Because when you look at how people are polling, they don't have a chance. Any normal person would go, oh, this isn't worth it. I'm not going to climb this hill. This is going to be impossible. But who knows? You know, we could have said that about Trump in 2016, and look how he ended up.
I mean, if you're a Rhino fan, or if you're somebody who would vote for Mitt Romney, you're going to vote for Nikki Haley. That's a very appealing candidate for you. So she actually may have a better shot than we think. But I don't believe she'll ultimately get enough of the base vote.
I do not think that she'll even get close. I mean, I've got people texting me, when I criticize Trump who say, if it's not Trump, I won't vote, period. I won't vote for Ron DeSantis. So if you think those people, and that's a big chunk of people, if you think they're going to go for Nikki Haley, I mean, if you lost your mind, I'll help you find it, because I don't think that's going to happen. Hey, so this piece by Michael Goodwin, it's really, it hits the nail on the head. And we've been talking about what's happening in New York City. It's really sad. You know, I talked about this with my mom the other day, and I said, she had been watching, I can't remember what the show was, but someone was talking about San Francisco and how when they were a kid, they used to go there like every weekend with their family. They drive in. They were from like a suburb outside of it, but they drive in, they get dinner, they go to a movie. It was just this great place. And people used to love the big cities. You know, it was, had everything you needed. It was the dream to like go there and live there, at least for a little while. And when you look at San Francisco, when you look at New York City, it's like a third world. They're disaster zones. And so now we have all of these migrants who are outside the Watson Hotel. They're being helped by activists who are also pushing this idea that they're being treated unfairly, that they should not have to move to the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal. And so this is what Michael Goodwin had to say. Tents in the Bronx, barracks in Brooklyn, or homeless shelters anywhere are not good enough. Only first-class Manhattan hotels, where the city pays upward of $500 a night per room, are acceptable. The welcome wagon comes with free food, free cell phones, free transit passes, free school, and free healthcare. Unfortunately, the booty is not free for taxpayers, which brings us to the slow learners and the sad saga. That would be the gang at City Hall that is hell-bent on proving once again that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. He goes into the mixed messages sent out by Eric Adams. I don't think it's mixed messages. I just think Eric Adams is a hypocrite. First says, we're a sanctuary city. You know, we welcome all these migrants. Then he says the inn is closed. Now he's saying he needs more money. He's all over the map. And that's what happens when you don't have any sort of strong backbone or policies. You're just going based off the headlines of the day. It's like trial balloons on Twitter. Like, oh, what do people think about this? Oh, no, people are mad. So he just changes based off which way the wind's blowing. Nonetheless, by October, some 17,000 migrants have arrived here, with most living in crowded city shelters that already house nearly 60,000 homeless people. With a clear change in tone, Adams suddenly declared a state of emergency and said the city had no more room at the inn. New Yorkers are angry, he said. I am angry, too. We have not asked for this. Well, maybe not in so many words, but you kind of welcomed it, didn't you? He was also banking on fellow Dems in Albany and Washington delivering financial aid. First, he said he needed $1 billion. Then he said he needed $2 billion. So far, they've given him diddly squat. There is an immediate impact on the city's already declining quality of life. The three-star Watson Hotel on West 57th Street would normally be a mecca for big spending tourists, but instead the scene is chaotic, with some migrant refugees pitching tents on the sidewalk in a bid to stay at the hotel instead of being shipped to a cruise ship terminal in Red Hook. And like I said, the 42-year-old Venezuelan man said the cruise ship terminal is not good enough. I'm going to continue this when we come back, because I just think this encapsulates the problem for liberals. They never thought this issue was going to come to their backyard, and it has arrived. And they don't know how to deal with it. We'll talk more about it when we come back. What are your New Year's resolutions? Is one of them to finally sell that piece of real estate that you've been hanging on to? Well, resolve to take control in 2023. Take control with JJ Manning Auctioneers and sell on your terms. Take control by selling with no contingencies for financing, for inspections, or for appraisals. Take control with one busy auction open house instead of random showings. Random showings are what kill you, because, you know, you get the house all tidied up, then you get the call, they want to come at 3, you got to go back home, you got to make sure everything looks perfect. It can really be exhausting. So take control by selling to cash-ready buyers who are not hostages to rising interest rates. Take control with an as-is sale. There's no need to sink money into the property before selling. Best of all, take control with a 30-day closing on your property. In a JJ Manning auction, there's no distress. This is stress-free because you set the terms. You sell contingency-free, and the buyer pays the commission. In an uncertain real estate market, which we are definitely in, I'm sure you've all been reading about it every day. There's a new headline about what's going to happen. You want to take control, and you can with JJ Manning. To learn more on how to get your property, home, commercial or land property sold quickly, contact Charlie Gale at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. That's 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your real estate sold. We'll be right back.
Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. The number is 844-500-4242, and we still got a lot to talk about. I do want to wrap this up, though, about the Watson Hotel. Because now they have activists who are helping these illegal aliens protest moving from the Watson Hotel, which is a three-star hotel, $500 a night, to the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal. And I talked a little bit yesterday about how there was another piece about those activists, because I always find that amazing, too. I find it amazing how much time people have on their hands to be, you know, getting out the poster board and the markers and standing on the street corner and protesting moving these migrants from one place to another. If we could just channel this energy into anything, it kind of goes back to what you were saying, Jared. It's like we have all of these people now. Actually, you know what? I'm not even going to give you credit for it. Remember that comedian I had you pull a couple weeks ago? I never ended up playing him. I think he was Constantine something. He was on Tucker Carlson.
Oh, Constantine Kissin.
He went viral. And one of the things he said in this was, we have this generation, these younger people, who have so much at their disposal. You know, they have so many opportunities. The technology is an astounding thing right now. And all they know how to do is complain. All people know how to do. That's like a currency now. I'll complain about this. I'll complain about this Trader Joe's name of this salsa because it offends me. I'll complain about this show because I didn't like the joke. I'll tweet at Netflix that they didn't put this up. Blah, blah, blah. It's just complaining. Complaining is a job for people. And so now we have all of these people who are outside the hotel, and it's not limited to the Watson. This is what the Post points out. We talked about that hotel row, and I want to read you this. The Post, acting on information and photos provided by a whistleblower employee, reported 3 weeks ago about the unfolding disaster in another Midtown hotel, which we've talked about on this show. Bears repeating, though. This was the whistleblower. He said, nearly a ton of taxpayer-provided food gets tossed in the trash every day because the migrants would rather secretly cook their own meals on dangerous hot plates. The photo showed garbage bags full of unopened sandwiches and a room littered with empty beer cans. The employee said there was a dramatic change when the city took over the hotel in October. He said there are some nice migrants in the hotel looking for that American dream, that second chance to make it in society. But there are a lot of migrants there that are causing chaos. We have a lot of fights, a lot of drugs, a lot of sexual harassment, abuse. He said there was no supervision for migrants who were supposed to be quarantined for COVID, chickenpox, and other infectious diseases. Now, what drives me crazy about this is, like, he prefaces it by saying there's people there who really are looking for the American dream. And I don't doubt that. But so today we have these hearings, right? These immigration hearings. And they want to look into Mayorkas. They want to look into the failure at the border. And Adam Schiff comes out and his first thing is the GOP is stereotyping illegal aliens. And they want to vilify any, if you're a critic in any sense, they want to vilify you. It's the old playbook, you know? Adam Schiff goes from one day saying, I'm getting death threats because of Kevin McCarthy's criticisms, to now saying, any criticisms you have about people coming into this country illegally and living off of resources here and a lot of the time wreaking havoc, not all of the time, but a lot of the time wreaking havoc, if you say any of those things, you are a racist, stereotyping xenophobe.
Racism, racism.
That's the playbook. That's all they got. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Grace Curley Show. It's the land of the freebies for NYC's entitled migrants. That is the headline from Michael Goodwin in the New York Post. And a lot of people are still following this situation happening outside the Watson Hotel. Of course, it's not the first time we've seen something like this. But I always go back to Eric Adams when he visited the border and he said, you know, these migrants are getting the impression that they'll be able to come here and stay in hotels. Where do you think they're getting that idea, Eric? You think it could be because it's true? By the way, Jared, could you ask Matt? I just printed something off about Kathy Hochul's latest budget in New York. I want to see how much she's given to Eric Adams because he's been begging for some loot for the Big Apple to deal with this problem. And pretty much he's been stiffed from everyone. So I'll be curious to see. I know gas stoves were built into the budget somehow. Kathy Hochul's got her eye on the prize. Pat, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi, Grace. You know what you don't see on the signs of those, you know, liberals? The addresses of their own homes, okay? Because when people used to come to this country, they had a sponsor. So I want somebody to put an amendment that every liberal, and let's just say 81 million that supposedly voted for, you know, Dementia Joe, they can take them in. There's probably about 60 million illegals in this country. Let them house them, sponsor them, close them, and love them. Well, I won't be one of them, but...
You know, it's interesting because part of this piece in the New York Post talks about how there's no shortage of issues happening in New York without all of these people coming here, like without all of these migrants. New York's quality of life has already been declining for quite some time, and New York City is not the only one. You look at all these big cities, and it goes back to, like, we got to be able to figure out how to take care of American citizens and how to make things better here before we start taking care of everybody else. And it goes beyond that, because when you listen to Kamala Harris, Borders are slash Space Cadet, talking about how she's going to get to the bottom of the root causes. She's talking about other countries' issues with crime and education and drug problems. Like, she's going to fix those problems in other countries to stop people from coming here. How about we fix... It's like being on the airplane. It's an old expression, but it's true. You got to put your own mask on first. You've got to get yourself situated before you start spreading yourself so thin. And I know I've said this, but we are on a suicide mission here with this open border. There's no doubt about it. It cannot continue like this. And as far as sponsoring people, we just need to have some sort of plan. And for a long time, we were told by the best and brightest in the Biden administration that they knew what to do, that they were going to have a humane approach to immigration. And their humane approach is just chaos, anarchy, open everything up, let anybody in. Meanwhile, you got Border Patrol agents who are killing themselves. It's a thankless job. The only time Biden even acknowledges we have Border Patrol agents is when he thinks he can accuse them of whipping Haitian migrants. Otherwise, he doesn't even go near these people who are doing the job that he's making so incredibly difficult. They don't, and nobody wants to give money to secure the border. They want to give money to processing people through, but not to secure the border. And it just, I keep going back to this idea that we're not going to be able to do any good if we can't figure out what's happening here. And there's plenty of issues happening here that we do not have a hold on at all. And actually, that does bring me to Jared. So a local story. This is Massachusetts. It's a tragic, tragic story that I read about today. And there's a 13-year-old boy, and his name is Tyler Lawrence. and he was visiting his grandparents in Mattapan over the weekend. And he was shot multiple times on Sunday morning when he was out walking during one of his weekend visits to his grandma and grandpa. His mother said, "I climbed the ladder. I moved to Norwood. I did everything that I thought I was supposed to do to give my son a chance." I want to play this audio for you because what really has been irking me lately, and I think it should bother everybody, and it does go back to what Trump used to say, like the media, they are the enemy of the people. They are evil because it's incredible how certain stories generate so much fanfare and so much attention. And certain stories, like the story of Tyler Lawrence, disappear. You don't hear anything about them. And I thought of Tyre Nichols because Matt Walsh had a tweet out today and he said, "The media has now completely moved on from Tyre Nichols. It took less than a week. Everyone involved was black, so they don't really care and could only pretend for so long. I'm guessing Nichols won't have any statues built in his honor either. He's not a useful victim." And it's a hard tweet to read and digest, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. I want you to listen to Remy Lawrence, Tyler Lawrence's mother. She was talking to WHDH, and this is what she had to say, cut four.
"This is a baby, a little boy. Everybody in this city should be outraged. And if you're not, what's wrong? I just left a funeral home for my 13-year-old son."
And I also want to play cut seven because I thought this was an interesting part. It was at the very end of the newscast. She mentioned she hadn't heard from any city leaders. That could have changed since then, but let's play cut seven.
"Where are you? Where are you? I love my son. I miss my son. And I'm never going to stop pursuing justice for my son."
Now, she says he was shot because he was a black boy who looked like every other black boy, and he was mistaken for someone, and he was shot and killed. And it's disturbing to think, because you read about stories, and I talked about this last week with the mass shootings that were happening in California. And I understand with mass shootings, it's a horrible, horrible thing. People get very afraid. It's so random. And it scares people, myself included. But there is something to be said about the fact that those stories get play because Gavin Newsom thinks he can say the Second Amendment is a suicide pact, because, all of these leaders, Joe Biden, they can all blame legal gun owners for something that has nothing to do with them. They think they can capitalize off it. They think they can exploit it. So they'll focus on it. But you look at what happens in Chicago every weekend. And people say this all the time, and I know that. But I do think that no one's given me a good answer on why. No one's given me a good answer on why those stories don't elicit the same kind of outrage from these leaders. Forget outrage. How about a phone call? How about a phone call for the mom whose 13-year-old son was visiting his grandparents and now he's dead? Does she get a phone call? Is it just crickets? Because it's not going to fit the sort of narrative that our media seems hell-bent on pushing down everybody's throats. 844-500-4242. I know that's heavy. I know that sound is heavy, but I wanted to play it because I saw it this morning on the local news and I was so moved by it, that poor mother. We have a lot to talk about. I also want to talk a little bit about COVID here because, as we told you yesterday, the House voted to terminate the COVID health emergency immediately. Now, Joe had come out to try to beat them to the punch, and he said, "We are going to end this emergency on May 11th. Like all of the deadlines and dates that we get with COVID, it was just arbitrary. It was just, I almost wondered, Jared, if they just had him put a blindfold on, pin the tail on the donkey.
I'm sure this decision was reached very scientifically.
Oh, you think so? You think this was a think tank operation?
Absolutely.
Operation Think Tanks at it again. Well, now we're finding out that Joe
Think
was,
about what you'd think about.
Joe was just trying to beat the Republicans to the punch. So he says May 11th. And actually, he says May 15th, but the day that we got was May 11th. Now, just because the House voted on it, it still has to go to the Senate. You know, I'm not saying that it's a done deal, but what's interesting is the reasoning behind why people are against ending this. The real reason is because Biden still wants to be able to pause student loan debt, to give out pandemic relief. You know, the trough is just overflowing, and they don't want that to end. This is like a blank check for government hacks to write to whoever they want. So they don't want that to end. But the reason they give, Jared, is we can't just end this overnight. We can't just decide to end this overnight. Again, that doesn't sound scientific to me. Like, we're either in a pandemic or we're not in a pandemic. And I'll hear the arguments for both. But saying, like, this is just too quick. This is just, we need a slower rollout of ending this emergency, doesn't make any sense to me. And now, meanwhile, the House is also voting on what's called the Show Up Act. And I want to explain this to you. The Stopping Home Office Works Unproductive Problems Act, or Show Up Act of 2023, requires each executive agency to reinstate the telework policies that were in place on December 31st, 2019. So in other words, we're going back to how things used to work before the pandemic. You couldn't just Zoom in with your sweatpants on or your pajama bottoms. You have to actually show up. Now this, Jared, this is going to cause, I'm sure,
oh yeah,
outrage.
This is shattering norms. It's just a Republican power grab. It's political vengeance.
It's a safety issue, too.
It's understood.
I mean, that goes without saying, right? It's a safety issue. It says, under the legislation, federal agencies cannot implement expanded telework policies unless the Office of Personnel Management certifies that such policies will have a positive effect on the agency's mission and operational costs. Now, I was told, Jared, when Elon Musk was trying to do this, when like the CEOs of these big banks and investment firms were trying to do this in New York City, that this was the stuff of authoritarian dictators. So now that it's going to happen to our politicians, I'm looking forward to seeing some meltdowns. I think people are going, there will be tears shed over this. 844-500-4242. The $2.2 trillion CARES Act, the first of three pandemic stimulus bills, provided federal agencies with nearly $5 billion to expand teleworking infrastructure. $5 billion to expand teleworking infrastructure. Is that like human infrastructure where you don't actually see it? It's just kind of in the air. $5 billion? Am I Dr. Evil? Sometimes I read $5 billion, Jared. You don't even flinch. You don't even look like that's a lot of money. I feel like I'm in the wrong decade. $5 billion seems like a lot for teleworking infrastructure.
It's just numbers to them. It's just numbers. There's no actual accounting for anything.
And when they tell you, like, oh, if we just taxed Elon Musk a little bit more, we could get X amount more money. So you can do what with it? Throw it into the ether? Send it down the tubes? Spend it on teleworking infrastructure? Whatever that is? Count me out. You've asked, you've waited, and now it's here. For 1 week only, the best-selling Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO sale is on. Winter is also here, which means doors and windows are shut. Therefore, odors are at their worst. Buy one and get one Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier free so you can take care of cooking, tobacco, and pet odors. Now, this is for 1 week only. A lot of our listeners, including Officer Mark, Dr. Matt, they all rave about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, and a lot of them have made multiple purchases. But if you're going to make a purchase, you might as well get two at the same time, and that's what you get with the buy one, get one. Ask anyone who's bought one, including Jared Diglio, who's sitting here to my right. Jared, tell people about the Thunderstorm air purifier.
What I like about it is because it actually purifies the air. It's the air purifier. It's not, it doesn't cover up. It doesn't make things smell flowery. It actually ionizes the air, which creates a super oxygen, which eliminates allergens and pollutants, which is great for me, but it also eliminates odors, pet odors, cigar odors, whatever, your food odors, trash, anything where you're stuck inside when it's minus 8,100 degrees, as it's going to be this weekend.
Yes, take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm BOGO offer today before it expires on Sunday. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code GRACE. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code GRACE. Shipping is free. We will be right back with more. I want to talk a little bit about Chuck Schumer. He had a fake tough guy moment that I would be remiss if I did not get to. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you are unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua, who I love. He is so talented and he is so kind. He will make sure you get everything you need and walk you through your journey with your smile to make sure it's exactly what you want. So call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit PerfectSmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far? And where can people vote?
If you want to vote in today's poll question, you can go to GraceCurlyShow.com. Even if you don't want to, I encourage you to do it anyway. Today's poll question is, which GOP probe are you most looking forward to? The January 6th probe, the COVID fraud probe, the Hunter/Joe probe, or the border probe?
I'm torn between the Hunter and Joe probe and the January 6th probe, but I'm going to go J6 because after the show trial we saw, it seems only fair that we get to ask some of the basic questions, like why weren't the Capitol Police ready for this if there was, you know, warnings before? Why didn't Nancy Pelosi help secure the Capitol building? Just some of those questions that roll off the top of your head right away. I would love to know those. And I don't think it'd be that hard to really drill down on them. So I'm going to go J6.
The J6 probe holding at 15%, 13% for the border probe, 24% for the COVID fraud probe, and 48% for the Hunter/Joe probe.
We were talking about COVID fraud. And I don't think this counts, Jared, as part of COVID fraud, but $5 billion for telework infrastructure seems like it could be entered into that. I wouldn't mind a few questions being asked about that. But the House is voting to have a show up act, and they want federal employees to. Can you get the dun 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 ready? Because this is really quel horreur. They want federal employees to return to the workplace. Water cooler conversations. I can't. Now, speaking of COVID, we were talking recently about the Project Veritas video of that man who was on a date. He worked for Pfizer in research and development. He lied to his date and he lied to his date about what goes on at Pfizer. And he was talking a lot about mutating the virus and how that was an idea they had.
Like normal men, you lie to impress a date.
He was just trying to impress his date. And he also, at one point, as most dates do, he brought up infecting monkeys with a variant of the vaccine or with the virus itself. Who hasn't been on a date where you talk about infecting monkeys with a virus? I mean, come on. We're all young once, right? Well, Pfizer they put out a statement, Jared, basically saying like, no, we're good, thanks. None of this is true. We're all set. So you know what Project Veritas did? Did you see
this? I did see this, yeah.
This is really good. This is one of these things that if you're not on Twitter, you're not going to see a story written up about it, but it's kind of amusing. Project Veritas put an LED truck outside of Pfizer HQ. And the truck is basically just one giant TV screen. And it's playing the video of James O'Keefe having this run-in with the man who worked at Pfizer. It's playing the Project Veritas video over and over again on the truck, and it's sitting outside of Pfizer. And this just makes me so, so happy because I'm sure there's a lot of people who walk by Pfizer HQ 8 every day and probably don't know that this is even out there. You're not going to see it on CNN.com or MSNBC.com. Actually, now that I think about it, CNN. We got some news for you from CNN. We'll save this. We got some Chris Wallace news. And Jess Machado on the 2 o'clock.